Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Tread water. Just kick. Just keep treading water. Just kick. Swim. Swim! Good God, man. Swim.
Steve, you still have those floaties?
Yeah, well, I'm not a good swimmer. I'm not a strong swimmer.
Yeah.
How about that rain?
Boy.
How about that thunder? How about that lightning?
Yeah, lightning show over the lake this morning, too.
Yeah, you've got a great view. Mm-hmm. You really do. All the listeners are invited to Andrea's balcony.
Thank you.
Her deck. It's not a huge deck, but it's an opportunity. Maybe we can get out, what, 5-6 people out there at a time?
Oh, maybe 2 or 3.
And then we flip them out, switch them out. It's going to take a long time to get through the audience this size. But I think it's a nice way to share your place with the listeners.
I think so. Absolutely.
So I'll next thunderstorm, head directly to Andrea's house.
I'll make fajitas.
Why wouldn't you? All right, we're going to do the top 6 and 6, and then Walk of Fame, one of the Walk of Fame's newest. Well, I don't know, Dave, do you agree that Nick should be on a Walk of Fame?
Oh, of course I do. Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
All right, as long as Dave says it's okay, because he's a Walk of Famer. Walk of Famer Nick DiGilio will join us in a couple of minutes as well. Chuck Todd before 7. Peter Greenberg, love Peter. Remember what Peter said about the airlines?
Yep.
We're not happy till you're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the airline slogan, according to Peter Greenberg, travel expert, and does a lot of work with CBS. We'll get to all of that coming up, and that's just the start of the show. But let's do the 6.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The Steve Cochran Show presents the top 6 at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
The top 6 at 6 on 720 WGN.
Generally speaking, you know, put this top 6 at 6 together, you know, 8, 9 o'clock the night before, and then some things change. Well, hell, many things have changed this morning. So we begin with the flooding, the great flood of 2017. Everybody's basement okay, as far as you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mine's good.
I don't have
two
them, but yes.
Little magic words, sump and pump.
Mm-hmm. Permaseal.
Thanks, Permaseal.
Yep, Permaseal getting it done. How about you there, Sicky, up on the 7th floor?
Huh? Well, I have my walls. I get like seepage in my walls.
Oh, you don't want the seepage. You got to fix the seepage.
I know I got to fix the seepage. It's not too bad.
The seepage is surprisingly expensive to fix. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I know. That's why we haven't fixed it yet.
I got the seepage fixed. And do you know what the seepage is, Dave? Andre, you know what the seepage is?
I think I'm familiar with the seepage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Old houses, the seepage.
Yeah. Yeah, not even that old. Like, my house is 28 years old, I guess, and not very mature. But we had the seepage, and the seepage is like, it sort of looks like one of Nick's favorite horror movies. You get a little bit of lines on the walls.
Yeah, but it's not yellow goo coming through. It's just
right, but
it,
you
water.
Go, well, that can't be that big a deal. And then you find out, yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
Steve, when we were little, my mom would roll up towels and kind of, this is the pre-permaseal days, and stick it in between, you know, the foundation and the floor. And
we'd have
to take turns stepping on the towel to prevent the seepage.
That's how you prevented the seepage?
Yeah. So we would take turns in between commercial breaks.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm glad I fixed the seepage, Mary, but bank financing available pending credit approval.
Well, can you finance my seepage and I'll be good?
Sure. Whatever
Thank
you need.
You.
Just let me know. Send me the invoice.
I will.
But flooding. Be careful. Next, the Senate Intelligence Committee is meeting today. And here's the weird part. The Republican and Democratic heads, they get along. They get along, and they're trying to do the right thing. Now, they haven't had their first hearing yet. That'll be today, and it's going to be on the Russian cyber side of things. But they are getting along so far, as opposed to Nunes and company. And next! That's right. Nunes. A name you didn't even know before. A nice dairy farmer from California becomes a backbench congressman. Works his way all the way up to be the head of the Senate or the House Intelligence Committee. And then starts running around to the White House at all hours and telling the president, hey, we're investigating you. Just thought you should know. Yesterday, both he and his ranking member, another fine California congressman, basically aren't going to agree on anything and don't expect anything to come out of the House. I still maintain this might be Nunes' way of blowing it up himself so he doesn't be the one that potentially take down this president. But it's ugly on a House side. The Senate getting along so far. The other thing is in Trumplandia, Ivanka is now a government employee or in the process of becoming one. So she'll have to do things like not steal pens and highlighters and also make sure she does a financial declaration every year as well. And the best TV still remains the midday Sean Spicer media briefing. That little creep is more clueless and difficult every day. Next! Speaking of creeps, a guy I used to like quite a bit, Chris Christie, until he pulled off Bridgegate, was actually taking a new job with President Trump yesterday, and an important job, kind of spearheading the effort to stem the tide of the opioid massacre that's going on in this country. He was doing that at the exact same time that two of his top former aides got jail time, and not just any jail time. This isn't Martha Stewart jail time. This is federal prison time in the Bridgegate. Situation. They are both appealing. There's a chance neither one will do jail time, but one got 2 years, the other got 18 months. Christie got nothing. Next!
I think it's kind of stiff. I mean, I know what happened was bad, but for him not to get anything?
Nothing. Crazy. Nothing. Hawks not only beat Pittsburgh last night, they beat them to a pulp. Four goals in the first period, more than enough to hang on. Who was the star last night's game in that 5-1 win, Dave?
Well, I think they spread it around, but I thought Patrick Kane was tremendous. He didn't score.
Never heard of him.
Didn't score a goal last night. Did you see his pass to set up Panarin for that first goal?
Yeah, and Panarin, when he stuffed that puck in the net, was actually behind the net. it's just crazy how good these guys are.
I think the kids use the term sick.
Yeah, it was.
It was sick.
No.
It's much funnier when you say it, though.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it's all sick and ridiculous, and the Hawks win, and that's great. And who they have? Columbus, right? The crazy Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yeah, that used to be an automatic W, not anymore, but that's here tomorrow night. And, Columbus and the Hawks are tied in the overall standings.
Yeah, both have 105 points.
Yeah, 5 points beyond Washington. Doesn't look like anyone's going to catch Washington for that top spot. I'm not so sure that's really bad because the history tells us winning the President's Trophy is not all that. It's not a great sign as far as winning the Stanley Cup.
No, that's exactly right. Best record, which guarantees you home ice throughout, rarely wins a cup.
Hawks have never had, I think, against Boston they had home ice for the Stanley Cup final in 2013. Yeah. But otherwise, they've done okay in the Stanley Cup final when they've gotten there without home ice. So.
And I believe they've won more road games this year than any other time in franchise history.
They've tied the record, 24 road victories, and they have been red hot.
Do they have any more road games? They do or don't?
Oh, yeah, they do. They have another three-game road trip. They'll come home and play two games. They'll play Columbus and Boston. Boston on Sunday, an early game. Then they close out.
I'm planning on being there Sunday morning.
Yeah, 11:30 face-off.
Yeah, planning on being there.
Right in your wheelhouse.
And one more. I'm going to give you guys a choice. You can have any one of these. The 11 of Chicago suburbs made the top 100 richest list, or Trading Spaces is coming back to TLC. It's kind of the original house reality show. Or the world's strongest coffee is now available in America. Which would you like to be the sixth of our top?
Trading Spaces.
How about Trading Coffee? How about Trading Spaces? How about Trading Spaces in one of Trading Places? Trading Spaces in one of the 11 richest suburbs.
There you go. That would be good.
Well, be good.
I never saw Sandberg run so fast in my life.
I love Trading Spaces. Paige Davis, come on, that former Broadway star.
Paige was cool. Yeah.
You know what Paige is?
Ty.
Paige Davis' married name is?
No.
Paige.
Seriously?
Is that true?
Yeah, it is.
Oh. She married a guy named Paige?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have changed
name. Paige.
No, turn the page. Let's go.
I loved that show.
Paige.
I liked it because they were all like lame, so it was entertaining.
I liked it too, and I like both of them, and I don't watch any of this house stuff, and now there's 9 million of them, and this was the original.
Mm-hmm. You watch House Smarts.
That's right. I watched that religiously.
I knew you did.
There's this funny because it was like they used like Lazy Boys and hot glue and stuff. Like now everything looks like a fancy house. But they
That's
actually.
That's the title of my last album, Lazy Boy and Hot Glue.
Because I think they only had like $1,000 to spend. Yeah, so they couldn't actually spend a lot of money. So it was kind of like not really doing a good job.
The best part about Trading Spaces was when somebody came home and they hated the room.
I know. That's what I loved. That was the best part.
They go, oh, yeah, that's interesting.
My split-level ranch, I don't like what you did with our basement part.
Yeah, that's interesting. So you took colored rocks and you glued them on the wall. Yeah.
That's festive.
Cause like, and you'd watch it and you're like, those things are going to fall off in 3 months. Like, you knew it was not that great of quality.
Great, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Trading Spaces coming back to TLC. So there you go. Nick DiGilio next on 720 WGN. You're simply the best. Better than all the rest. There's nothing quite like the honor. And Dave Potatoes, of having people step on you.
Yes.
It's called the Walk of Fame. And coming up, is it May 24th or 26th?
May 25th. Thursday, May 25th.
Well, it wasn't one of your choices, David. It's the 24th or the 25th?
Average it out.
May 25th, we will induct the new class for the Walk of Fame. You can go to WGNradio.com, I'm sure, and have the whole list right there. We'll try to get it all for you at some point on the show again today, in case you missed it yesterday. Or maybe repost it on Twitter, at Cochran Show. And please welcome one of the new inductees, our friend Nick DiGilio. Congratulations.
Woo!
Nick. Woo! Way to go,
Thank
Nick.
You. Thank you. I still think it's a mistake.
It's not a mistake. It's not a mistake.
Yeah.
It is a worthy honor to a hell of a guy.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm pretty much overwhelmed by it. This just having a radio show on WGN is a dream come true. I grew up like many people have in Chicago with radios in every room that was tuned to 720. Listening to it all day long and all night long. And, listening to Wally Phillips and, of course, Roy Leonard, who was the one who gave me my break. And, it's just, it's overwhelming. It's insane. And I never thought it would happen. It wasn't even a thought in my mind that
well,
this would happen.
Deserve.
But thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
You really deserve it. Now, I haven't looked out there, to see where you're going to fit into Pioneer Court, but is there room next to Roy?
Yep. Todd Manley, the morning that he told me that I had been chosen to be a part of the Walk of Fame, took me outside and showed me where it was going to go, and it's right next to Roy.
That's perfect. That is so perfect.
So,
now, I will tell you this, because people don't know the story. Todd is a tremendously nice guy on all fronts, unless he's mad at you. Todd has never been walked out of a building and fired, to my knowledge. But when he told me later on that he walked you outside, I go, well, you told him what you were doing, right? He goes, no, it was a surprise. I go, well, he probably thought you were launching him.
honest to God, because, he doesn't come into work at 5:30 in the morning. And so when Dan Chagrew, my great producer, and I were heading down to the lobby to leave, because we come in together and leave together, I saw Todd standing in the lobby, and I was like, well, this is kind of weird. And he comes up, and he says hello, and he's an incredibly gracious and nice guy. And then he walked into the studio, the Showcase studio with us, because for those people, it's a little behind-the-scenes thing. My producer, Dan Chagrew, does he prints up the sheets with all of the highlights of what's going to happen during the program day. And he always brings it into the Showcase studio, he puts it into the little thing, and then we leave. So Todd's there, he walks in with us. And he's like, this place is great, isn't it? And I'm thinking to myself, he's going to can me. He's going to can my ass right now. And then he goes, look outside there. Look at that. You're going to be on that. You're going to be on that on that walk. And I was like, what? I lost it.
Mike Jacobson said, I saw Todd walking around with Nick and Dan. I'm like, oh, he's getting fired.
I had the same feeling. I got called in with Todd and Jimmy, and we need some time with you this morning. I'm like, uh-oh.
That's not good.
By the way, Todd said
that's
he needs some time
good.
With you this morning.
Oh,
too.
Good.
Not to
thanks.
Be the bearer, but...
And don't just come out of the bathroom.
Well, I'm sorry you haven't had the experience of being fired 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 times. I'm really happy for you.
It's incredible, man. And, I just want to tell you this really funny. First of all, my parents have lost their mind. My mom started crying when I told them and everything. But the first thing my mom said... 30 seconds, 10 seconds after I said, hey, I'm going to be on the Walk of Fame, so I'm forever going to be a part of the WGN history. And my mom says, well, you better dress up on the day they induct
you. Oh, that's hilarious.
How mom is that?
How mom is that, especially since I dress like a slob? And I'm like, no, mom, you know, I'm going to wear a Jethro Tull t-shirt and a Cub hat.
Right. That's
right. Oh, these kids today.
You are going to have to go shopping, Nick.
Yeah. Well, it's very exciting. And Dave, it's May 25th?
May 25th. Thursday, May 25th.
Thursday, May 25th. All right, we have no time for the movies, but let's go through these quickly. Boss Baby, 30 seconds.
Boss Baby is the new animated film from DreamWorks featuring the voice of Alec Baldwin as a baby who upsets the life of a 7-year-old who was already in the house. And the baby, as you find out, is on a mission to stop the fighting between dogs and babies. And Jimmy Kimmel is one of the voices. Tobey Maguire narrates it, and Alec Baldwin as the baby. I hear okay things about it. Kids movie, you know, from DreamWorks.
Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell is Scarlett Johansson in a new sci-fi action film that's based on a Japanese anime thing from years ago. And it's an action movie where she goes in to stop cyber terrorists. The controversy about this is that this is Scarlett Johansson cast in what should be an Asian role, and this has been an issue for a long time. Just in Doctor Strange, just last year when Doctor Strange came out, Tilda Swinton was cast in a role that was supposed to be an older Asian man, and they cast Tilda Swinton. So this has just been a point of contention. It looks okay. Scarlett Johansson looks great, of course. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I like the original anime. I think it's pretty cool. But I've heard really bad things about this.
Zookeeper's Wife.
Zookeeper's Wife is Jessica Chastain. Takes place in 1939 in Poland, just as the Nazis invade, and she runs a zoo with her husband, and they decide that they are going to hide many Jews inside the zoo to keep them safe.
That's a true story, isn't
escape.
It?
Yeah, it's based on a true story, based on a book of the same name. And Jessica Chastain is in it. It seems like a pretty, I mean, obviously it's going to be a very heavy movie, but it's the kind of movie that you would think, because Jessica Chastain is in it, the subject matter and who the director is, that they would release this thing like in award season, like around November.
Yeah.
But it comes out this weekend. So.
All right, there you go. And Rear Window is coming up sooner than later, and that'll be in Rosemont, part of Nick's Film Club. Get tickets where?
Fandango.com. It's April 11th, $10. Parking is free, Fandango.com.
Don't forget, after May 25th, stand on Nick, along with you, where you can stand on Dave and walk all over them.
Hey, Nick, stop by tomorrow. I'll teach you the secret handshake.
Good. That's great. We don't know.
I just can't wait till John Cass stamps out a cigarette on my name.
I was going to say, Nick, don't worry, because we send the interns out, maybe a couple times a month to go out and take the gum and the cigarette butts off the plaque. So you'll be fine.
Yeah. It'll be fine.
I'm really, in all seriousness, this is like the best thing that's ever happened. Obviously the highlight of my career. And I've never been more proud to be a part of a radio station, and to be there now forever it's mind boggling. And I can tell you really quickly, the first movie I ever reviewed on Roy's show back in 1985 when I started. Friday the 13th, Part 5, Jason Lives.
Right, and that's the part where he said, thank God, what?
He said, thank God, I don't have to watch this crap. That was pretty much what Roy said. He's like, hey, listen. I can't watch this crap anymore. You like that ninja stuff. You like the horror movies. I'll give you – here's the deal. You can review that crap for me. I'm done. That was it.
Doesn't get better than that. Walk of Famer, Nick DiGilio. We're back with a big story next, 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You'd have to go back to Watergate to find something truly analogous. And we need to find a way to bring back that kind of bipartisan ethic and commitment to this investigation, which has every much as much at stake.
If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection.
We would be crazy to try to draw conclusions from where we are in the investigation. I think Mark and I have committed to let this process go through before we form any opinions.
I said it was the most important thing I'd ever taken on in my public life. I believe that more firmly now than even when we started.
You can talk all you want about Russia, which was all a, fake news.
even believe it when he says it. Chuck Todd joins us, Meet the Press and MTP Daily on MSNBC. And Chuck, let's forget about Russia for a second and talk about what's really important. That'd be your final four predictions.
This is the first time I've never had a final four out of one team in my pool. So I don't know what good my predictions are. I had Arizona beat Kentucky. That can't happen, right? That's okay.
No, I had Arizona winning it all as well, but I somehow managed to. I think I pulled North Carolina still. I gave up a while ago. But anyway, let's go.
I'm a big ACC fan. I watch a lot of ACC basketball. North Carolina is the best team in the country whenever they want to be, and that's the problem. It's whenever they want to be. My assumption is they blow Oregon out, and it is an absolute nail-biter against whoever wins that other game. I'm done picking against Gonzaga, but I still would rather. I think Frank Martin's one of the best, most underrated coaches in the game.
The head coach of South Carolina is sort of, for reference point, if you haven't seen him, he's a combination of Ditka and Joel Quenneville on a basketball court. At any point, he looks like the authorities may have to arrest him.
I have a soft spot for him because he's a Miami boy. Look, man, the guy came, he had to work his way up through the blue-collar way of coaching ranks. High school, small college assistant, he did it the hard way. So I admire it.
I think it's a South Carolina-North Carolina final.
That's my gut, too. And I bet you it's absolutely a much closer game than it should be.
Well, could be entertaining. And I'm going with North Carolina. And
me too.
And that seems to be the money play. All right, so let's go back to the end of America as we know it. And that's the continuing fight over whether Russia's real or isn't. I think we probably put the isn't part of that away. The Senate Intelligence Committee is going to meet today. They look like they're actually going to try to get along, but the House Intel Committee looked like that a while ago, too. Do we have more faith in these guys?
I have more faith because of who's on the Senate Intel Committee. You have guys like Marco Rubio, who's been pretty aggressive and pretty outspoken on the Russia threat. You've got a couple of James Lankford, who's also a no-nonsense kind of guy. It is just that, look, the House Intel Committee was filled with Trump supporters and sort of Trump defenders. You don't have that in the Senate Intel Committee.
And going forward on the House side, I don't know what happens first.
I think it's done. I think that helps. I mean, which may have been Devin Nunes' whole goal. If his goal was to essentially scrap the ability of the House Intel Committee to conduct an investigation, he succeeded. I'm starting to wonder if that really was the true goal here.
Yeah, well, that's something I thought about and brought. I think I brought it up last week. Is maybe he doesn't want to be a part of potentially taking down this guy, taking down President Trump?
I think a lot of those guys don't. I mean, I've always thought that the reason why we're still likely to see some sort of 9/11 commission is because there's going to be a point where Republicans are going to be uncomfortable having to do the hard work on Capitol Hill, that it's politically too hard for them to do it. So they'll feel more comfortable letting somebody else do it.
There's a lot of terminology that gets floated around with special select committees and things of that nature. The formation of those take a while, right? I mean, if it goes that route?
They can. They only take a while if one side wants to drag its feet.
Okay.
But I think all of this is going to depend. I've always thought that it goes hand in hand. If Mitch McConnell decides Donald Trump's a problem for the Republican Party, then you're going to see a lot more Republican cooperation on the Russia investigation. If they think he's an asset, you're going to see a lot more faux cooperation, but dragging their feet to get to wherever they need to go. It really, to me, is interlinked between sort of the political standing of Trump on any given day.
The people elected Trump by way of the Electoral College. However, the Republicans have it their own way because, let's start beating around the bush here and start talking about the elephant in the room. If Mike Pence were to become president of the United States before this four-year term is up, that is not necessarily a bad thing for the Republican enterprise as it stands now. And those conversations have to be going on.
Well, I don't think the conversation happens. I think it happens more in media than Democrats, to be honest, than it does on the Republican side. But look, if Pence would be a traditional Republican president, if he were president. Much more, probably the more on the conservative spectrum, a little more conservative than George W. Bush, but it would be more within the traditional bounds of expectations of what you would have for a conservative Republican presidency. And I don't know if that unites, or, as we learned, Trump won because he wasn't an orthodox conservative Republican, right? Trump attracted a certain group of voters who weren't big fans of the Freedom Caucus wing of the party, and who sort of like they weren't fans of small government. They wanted government to work better for them. So, and I think we saw that. I think the president's correct ear for that group of voters, and why he was so intent on pulling the plug on health care. I think we've seen the divide.
Andrea, you and I were talking about Ivanka. Well, say hi to Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Hi, Andrea. I'm good.
Excellent. You know, we were talking about Ivanka before and her new unpaid, I guess, appointment, if you will. I don't have a huge problem with that. I mean, she's her father's right hand anyway. I don't think it's a bad thing. Do you think Republicans are going to have more of an issue with this because, you know, she and her husband are Democrats?
Well, that's been the issue. You hear about it. Yeah. The White House is basically split into really three factions.
Yeah.
You know, the Ivanka Jared Democrat faction, the New Yorkers. You have the Bannon faction, sort of the outsiders. And then you have the establishment faction, the Reince Priebus group. And Pence very carefully doesn't fully align himself with the Priebus group, but that's where his instincts are. Just a little more conservative side. I think he's got a competency issue with Priebus. There's three factions in that White House. But I'm with you on Ivanka. Look, if that's who the president wants advising him, you know, it's his daughter. Right. She could be an informal advisor, or at least we can know she's an advisor. I think it's better for the public that we see it rather than they hide it.
Yeah, they take it, they formalize it, and it's fine. All right, we'll let you go on this. The pattern here, the modus operandi seems to be create chaos and then throw something up that looks interesting, whether it's another executive order or not. What's next for the Trump machine, Cirque du Soleil, Cirque du Trump? What are they going to do next?
Well, I think right now they're going to get out of the way of Neil Gorsuch. I think that's the first win he's going to have, his first deliverable. That's next week. Honestly, it's going to be an utter mess, and unfortunately, I don't think the public realizes what's about to happen. The United States Senate is going to change forever. You know, the filibuster is going to go away. There's going to be finger pointing. Oh, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Honestly, it's just something that's been happening for 20 years. And you could say it's inevitable. But the unintended consequence of what's going to happen in the United States Senate, and they scrap the filibuster for the Supreme Court justice, is going to change our judiciary for good. And I think it's going to be a problem. I mean, you think we've hollowed out the political center in American politics? Now we're going to do it to the judiciary. And that is not healthy. We are going to have only far left and far right judges going forward because both sides are going to be able to get whatever they want. There's never going to be a need to woo the middle in the United States Senate anymore. And that is going I think that's going to be problematic long term.
Couldn't agree more.
The Trump administration, I think, gets out of the way of that because they'll get their Gorsuch victory, and that's all that'll be focused on.
It's Chuck Todd, MTP Daily, and Meet the Press. You want to plug?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a lot of Gorsuch. We'll be talking about that bitter fight in the Senate. Likely I'll be talking to the top guys on both sides, not 100% confirmed yet, but that's the goal here, at least the top leaders on both sides, and we'll see if they can avert destroying the Senate as we know it. That's all.
That's all.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's all. Yeah, just exactly. Another weekend.
How's that for a tease? Will they avert destroying the Senate as we know it? Or at 11.
All right, Chuck. Thanks. See you later. That's Chuck Todd.
We can make t-shirts. We can make t-shirts with that, Steve.
it would have James Earl Jones saying it, you know?
Yeah.
Thumping it. Well, Orion Samuelson. Bill Curtis. We'll get them all to record it.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, it's the politics coming up, but there's no better voice in travel than Peter Greenberg, petergreenberg.com. He actually doesn't have a home. His home is a tiny chair, never a middle seat. Hey, by the way, what are you wearing? Because we have a dress code. You're not wearing leggings, are you?
Oh, I live for leggings.
I was defending, you tell me if I'm wrong, I was defending United Airlines. In a world where people wear anything they damn well please on the buses with wings, United Airlines has a right to say, if we're going to fly you basically for free on a friends and family pass, then there's a dress code. I don't think that's a bad call.
Well, every airline, United, the legacy airlines, United, Delta, American, not only has a dress code, it's in their contract of carriage. It's written out in the contract. And but when I first heard this story, before it went like totally viral, my first response was, wait a minute, there's a dress code? Have they not been on the planes I've been on?
Right.
And so the real question is, and I think you and I are both old enough to remember, at least in my case, when I was a kid traveling, my parents would make me dress up. I had a jacket and tie on.
Yep.
Today, yep. You know, it's amazing people have any clothes on.
What's the worst outfit you've what's the worst outfit or the weirdest thing you've ever seen somebody wear on a plane?
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, it wasn't what they were wearing, it's what they were doing. They got on the plane, took their shoes off, and then just started clipping their toenails in the aisle. But the flight attendant was great. She saw what was going on, and obviously everybody else saw what was going on. And she got on the PA and said, to the passenger who wants to clip his toenails, may I please suggest you step outside.
I remember, and Andre, I don't know if I ever told you this. I remember a pouring rain situation like this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy, he's late. It wasn't me. Guy is late, and he runs into the airport. And he had taken a garbage bag, like a black lawn leaf bag, and cut a hole in it and used it as a poncho. And he runs up, and he's dripping off his plastic bag, and he literally kept it on as they let him down the jetway onto the plane, took the garbage bag off, flicked the water out, got this poor woman, you know, drenched, sitting there, folded it up, and put it in the overhead.
Oh, no.
I love it. I love it.
It ain't right. It just ain't right. All right, so dress codes aside, you are the one that told us a long time ago they're not happy till we're not happy. What are we dealing with in the spring airline-wise? Because it seems to me all these planes are flying full. They should be happy.
Actually, they're not flying full now, and I'll tell you why. As a direct result of about five different things that combined to form a perfect storm, started with Brexit, then it went to the power of the U.S. dollar against the euro and the British pound and the Turkish lira and the Argentinian peso. For the first time, the U.S. dollar is king worldwide. Then you had an election year, which fewer people wanted to travel. It happens every 4 years. Doesn't matter who's running. Then you had the actual election, and fewer people traveled because of uncertainty about what Trump was going to do in terms of travel policy. Then you had January 27th, in which he signed the first executive order on immigration and visas, and then it really dropped through the floor. And then add to that, because it was such a brilliantly robust year in travel last year, you have a number of new disruptor airlines coming in, adding more capacity to the market, whether it's Norwegian or WOW or an airline called Edelweiss or Hainan Airlines. It goes on and on and on. So right now, we are really dealing with a global buyer's market in travel, and that's going to extend through the summer, Steve.
So since it's a buyer's market, okay, we like that. But does that mean the incidental charges are going to change and we're going to get to everybody's paying for the overheads and things like that?
No, the incidental charges will not change because that's where the airlines make their money. They don't make it on the fares. The dirty little secret is, even if the airlines are full, even if it wasn't a buyer's market, airline fares themselves are taxed at a very high federal tax rate. So if they lower the fare, that means they lower their tax. But the fees that they charge for whether it's excess baggage or a meal or a pillow or anything, those are only charged at like local state sales tax rates. So the airlines are pocketing an unbelievable amount of money here, and that's where they're making their money.
So they need bodies in the seats, not for the airfares, but for the extras.
Right. It's about onboard revenue. Yeah.
It's like the excursions if you take a cruise.
Same thing. Onboard revenue. It's not the cost of the cabin. It's the ka-ching, ka-ching of everything else. That's one of the reasons why people pay a dreaded single supplement if they just want to be in the cabin by themselves, because they don't really need money for the cabin, the cruise lines. They just need bodies in there that are going to go out and drink and eat and go to the specialty restaurants and take the shore excursions and do the rock climbing wall, you name it.
I promised the staff they could all do whiny staff questions. I even have one myself, so let me lead it off.
Go ahead.
Took the family to Orlando a few weeks ago, got the rental car, got the American Express bill, and noticed an upcharge of, I don't know, $40 or $50 on the car, because there was a, and I don't even know the right word to call it, but instead of the toll thing that I have on my dashboard, there was an embedded windshield thing in my Hertz rental car.
Yep.
And I had turned it down, and but yet I was charged $25, $30, $40, whatever the number is. Are you aware of this?
I am. A lot of rental car companies will put those in the cars. It's what you need to ask before you ever take the car out of the lot. It's no different than the insurance that they sell you. First of all, it's not actually insurance. It's called a collision damage waiver. And 9 times out of 10, if you own a car, you're already covered with your own automobile policy. You don't have
right.
to take their insurance. That also applies to personal effects insurance that they sell you. It applies to a lot of other things. And then, of course, there's the gas refueling charge, which is crazy. You know what some of these rental car companies are charging to refuel a car? $9 a gallon.
Well, that so, seems right. It is a lot of work.
Well, here's the deal. You need to negotiate all that stuff up front, and not with the 800 number when you rent the car, with the local franchisee themselves, because they all operate as individual fiefdoms. And while they may honor the actual reservation for the car, it's those other little extras that may not be fully disclosed to you or that you may not be asking about but should that are going to neck you, you know?
Yeah, so the windshield thing, is that some because it's Hertz. It's not Bob's House of Rental Cars. Is that a Florida thing or is that a national thing?
Well, it's a thing where they have a lot of toll roads. So you'll see it in Florida. They have a lot of toll roads there. You'll see it in places like Indiana.
Yeah, we have a lot here.
Yeah, and a lot in Illinois, absolutely.
All right, let's go around the room. Andrea, a question.
All right, Peter, you've never led me astray, and I love your advice and suggestions. I'll be in ice.
There's always a first time.
Nope. You told me to go to Cuba. I had the best time ever, but I want to ask about Iceland. I'm going to be going in a couple
yes.
of weeks.
Okay.
I need what's a must-see, maybe two must-sees, and tell me a little bit about the food.
Well, first of all, the one you're going to see, because everybody makes a pilgrimage there, is the Blue Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll do that right outside of Reykjavik. It's very close to the airport, as a matter of fact. It is a really fun experience because there's so much thermal energy in Iceland because it's all volcanic. So you must go bathing in that Blue Lagoon. But then two things that nobody's going to tell you about Iceland is that they're actually now making single malt whiskey in Iceland.
Really?
And you got to check that out. And the other thing is if you go down to downtown Reykjavik, there's a father and son watchmaker. These guys make the most amazing watches, and they're not outrageously expensive based on, you know, what Swiss watches would be costing. But what's interesting is a lot of people that you know or know of have made a stop in Iceland just to get one of their watches, including Bono and some members of the Rolling Stones. I mean, it's such a cool watch place.
Cool.
And by the way, it's the size of a small, you know, closet. But everybody knows them. Go in there and watch them actually make the watches. It's cool.
Very cool. Thanks, Peter.
So, handmade.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's wild.
Perfect.
Dave, question.
Yes, Peter, you mentioned WOW Airlines. I'll be admitted,
yes.
I had not heard of WOW Airlines till a couple of days ago. I guess they're flying out of Chicago now. And I went on their website, and there's $149 fares later this year to Berlin and Brussels and Copenhagen.
Right.
Do you recommend WOW Airlines?
Actually, I've flown them. There are two airlines, obviously. Iceland Air, that's the long-standing airline there, and WOW is a relatively new airline. When they first started flying, they were offering $69 fares to Reykjavik, and then they'd let you stay for 3 days, and then for another $129, $39, $49, as you saw, they would fly to any number of cities in Europe that they connect to. It's really no different than when I was going to school in Madison, Wisconsin, when I was a freshman and a sophomore. That's how we saw Europe. We flew Iceland Air, stopped over in Reykjavik, and just changed planes. But now Iceland's such a cool place, you literally do want to stop over for a day or two.
All right.
It's it seems like a bad name marketing wise. Wow, we're really late. Wow, I can't believe my luggage didn't show up. You know, those type of things.
Or wow, I'm in the Blue Lagoon. It only cost me $69 to get here. It works both ways.
Yeah, it does. The great Peter Greenberg, petergreenberg.com. I was going to have Mary ask a question and Steve, but Mary has the flu, and Steve's waiting for cake. Thank you, my friend. Tickets for, Dave, am I right about this? The last regular season home game this Sunday, right?
Sunday is Boston, 11:30. That is the regular season home finale.
That's right. Couldn't be more convenient. 11:30 Sunday morning against the Bruins. I will be there. Well, I hope. I'll be there. And looking forward to seeing you. So let's do a Hawker riddle as written by John DeCoste, riddle writer. Is he making any money doing this, Andrea? Is he making any money in the riddle game? I don't think so.
Not that I know of, but you don't know what he does on the side, Steve.
It's not quite some people hire for parties. Mm-hmm. Hey, can we get a riddle writer? here we go. Green alligators and long-necked geese. I opened 3 years after the Civil War ceased. An 1830 bur oak tree is in my park. You can see it for free. You ready?
Oh.
You don't have a clue, do you?
I really don't.
All right. Green alligators and long-necked geese. I opened 3 years after the Civil War ceased. An 1830 bur oak tree is in my park. You can see it for free.
Oh, wait a minute.
You don't have it yet, either?
I don't yet, no.
No, I don't think so.
I do.
It is the Blackhawks in Boston Sunday. Your tickets for free from me and the Riddle Man. John DeCoste, riddle writer.
They're so obsolete, the riddle
writers. Is there
writers.
A union for riddle writers?
312-981-7200 is the telephone number. First correct call. I didn't hear you, Dave. What'd you say?
I said, is there a union for riddle writers?
Is there a union for riddle writers? See, if there is, it's a really terrible union.
You didn't miss it, Steve.
Let me give you the plug while we get a winner here. Tickets to see the Blackhawks against Boston, as I said, Sunday. You're entered to win 4-season tickets for next year, courtesy of 4 Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, 4 Seasons. You can see them online at 4SeasonsHeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. And listen to Rokan for a second chance to win this afternoon in the 3 o'clock hour. That's their CLTV hour. Of course, we're on CLTV every day in the 9 o'clock hour. Do we have a winner?
We do. Jennifer is on the line with us, Steve.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
All right. Now, this is a complicated riddle, Jennifer. Are you a big riddle fan?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You've come to the right place. Eric and Kathy aren't doing a whole lot of riddles.
No.
Green alligators and long-necked geese. I opened 3 years after the Civil War ceased and 1830 bur oak trees in my park. You can see it for free. Where did I hide the puck?
Lincoln Park Zoo.
That's exactly right.
Yay!
The Lincoln Park Zoo. You got the tickets for Sunday morning.
I didn't know it was so old.
Oh, my gosh. How perfect.
How about it? All right. Congratulations. Thanks for listening. And hold on. Yeah. How about that?
That's fantastic. I love that zoo. Right.
Now, the puck itself is near a zebra named Phil, just so you know if you go to
Zoo.
All right. We'll come back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Governor Bruce Rauner.
Speaker Madigan has now got his dedicated attack surrogates as the tax servants, and the comptroller is one of the main dedicated ones. Unfortunately, Mayor Emanuel has also taken on that role as well. And this is all part of just the unrelenting pushback. They don't want to change the system. They want no changes. The system is so broken.
My friend Pat Brady joins me. Pat Brady from... What company?
Next Generation Strategies.
How are you?
Great, man. How you doing?
Did you have a good vacation?
I did. It was great. Did some scuba diving. Kids, got quality time with the kids. Figured out their old man's a lunatic, so it was all good.
Spring break where?
Grand Caymans. Down with Brother Kevin. It's a beautiful place.
So Grand Cayman as opposed to the mediocre Caymans or the average Caymans. These are the really good Caymans?
Yeah, I just got upgraded. I usually go average. Now I'm on Grand.
Yeah. Good call.
Yeah, come on, Dad. It's beautiful.
All right, so the governor was on yesterday with me, and that statement there surprised me. Do you believe that Mayor Rahm Emanuel one of the toughest guys in politics, takes orders from Mike Madigan.
I think Mayor Rahm Emanuel will do anything to survive, but he's going to have a very tough mayor's race, and he has to pick on the governor because he doesn't want to make the pension reforms that he promised he'd make the governor to get the money that they need. So I think it's all political expediency, but
that's not taking orders from Mike Madigan. I'm talking about the governor made it sound like Madigan picks up the phone and tells Rahm what to do.
I can't disagree because I don't know what he does, but I know that he does everything that's politically expedient, and part of that is keeping Mike Madigan happy so he can get his war chest and get his people to work for him. So probably to a certain extent, but certainly Susana Mendoza does. And since the minute she's been elected and she said she was going to be independent from the speaker, she spends pretty much every day sending out a new press release attacking the governor. I saw her speak at the City Club last week, and it was almost uncomfortable that she spent the whole time attacking the governor, not just the governor, but personally attacking the governor, accusing him of everything, but basically a Lindbergh kidnapping.
Yeah, why do we need to hear from the comptroller on the level we're now hearing from the comptroller on? The comptroller's position used to be, even when Judy Barr was doing it, Judy Barr was going, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me every day. And she was one of the most media savvy people I've ever seen in politics. Susana Mendoza, whether she's got higher aspirations or not, how about you just do the job?
Exactly. But Judy Barr did call balls and strikes, but it was both against Republicans and Democrats. Susana Mendoza, her whole spiel is, this is all Bruce Rauner's fault, who's been there for 24 months, and she's not doing anything objectively, and that office is merely there to cut checks. It's not a major policy position, and nor is it the constitutional office equal to the governor, like she seems to think. But, man, she's on a tear, and she's been called out on it in a couple ed boards. I think even the Tribune, Kristen McCrory, wrote something, but that's what she's chosen to do. But remember, that was Judy Bart Topinka's seat when she passed. Yeah. Leslie Munger was there, supposed to be there for a four-year term. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to make it a two-year term, have a special election, and that's why she's in there, and she's just Madigan's attack dog.
Yeah, and she is welcome here because we know Madigan doesn't have the guts to show up. Let me check with Jake on this. Is Mike Madigan coming in today? No? Okay. I figured that might be the case. Whenever you hear the crickets, be the seventh caller, and you've won the Madigan game. So let's do the Madigan game right now. Seventh caller wins because somebody in Illinois ought to win while Madigan's destroying the state. All right, so the governor, the other thing with the governor yesterday, the fixillinois.com, I like that website because it's a condensed, easy-to-access version for anybody that goes, I don't understand the fight here. Why is Rauner sticking to his guns the way he is? Is it his fault? Is it Madigan's fault? What's really going on? When you see it boiled down that there's four very basic items there, and I believe he'd negotiate it to two, but there's four very basic items there that he's saying, we got to have these because we got to change something in this state to get it working again. I don't know how people can argue with it.
I agree, and it's not just, even when we talk about the mayor or Senate President Cullerton, who's actually has a pension bill that would pass constitutional muster and would help the state. There's only one person that doesn't want to play ball, and we know who it is. And the solutions are there, and I think the willingness amongst the rank and file, certainly you're going to have Leader Durkin on later, can talk about what he did this week to try to propose some legislation that's going to get the state moving forward. But there's just a hold up in one place, and it's been that way for a while. And it has nothing to do with good public policy. It's all about maintaining status quo and power.
And I would give you a phone number where you could call Mike Madigan and complain, but he doesn't have a phone. Mm-hmm. Not making it up. You mm-hmm. can't call his office. You can't. So, and a guy has been running the state his way and running it into the ground forever, Andrea?
Pat, I heard day before yesterday some of the Democrats, of course, saying that this is going to continue. We're not going to have a budget until the next gubernatorial election, in which they hope, obviously, Bruce Rauner won't be governor anymore.
Yeah, that was two. That's the political calculation. There are two leading state senators that said that.
Do you feel that as well? Do you feel this is just going to keep going on and on? And if not, what is going to be the breaking point? Because it really seems right now as though Governor Rauner is going to be the one to give in.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of who has to give in. It's a matter of doing what's right for the state. Let's get another stopgap budget. They'll dump a budget on May 31st, the last day of the session, that's out of balance like they did last time, and go home and say they did their jobs. And then we'll get some kind of stopgap budget. That's one alternative. But I'm not sure exactly what the breaking point is. Remember, a lot of the state runs on autopilot because of consent decrees and things that are already baked into the budget. But it gets worse and worse, and the bottom line, it just gets more expensive. But I don't, I, the governor shouldn't back down. He and the Republicans that are leading this, and a lot of Democrats, too, are for the first time we've got some representation of taxpayers down there, and we can't maintain the status quo anymore. We need some reforms.
The the schools, police, fire, those are the type of things that will change things when it comes home to roost at schools in particular. There continues to be enough of play in the system to fight that off, but that day is coming. And the idea that we can just continue to go along without a budget ought to offend everybody that is a taxpaying citizen in the state of Illinois. It's outrageous.
Well, this is how ridiculous it can get sometimes. I was down in Springfield yesterday, and while all this is going on, all these important fiscal and economic issues, the Democrats found time to introduce some legislation to reduce potential sentences for such minor crimes as gun running, drug-induced homicide, aggregated meth-related child endangerment.
Reduce sentences.
This is a piece of legislation I read yesterday. I had to monitor all the legislation in my job. This is what they're thinking about are good ideas in a city like Chicago. But that's what some of these folks are spending their time doing.
Well, it's outrageous. And one last thing on this before I let you go, and then we'll come back and talk about Trump. For those of you who thought I was ripping on Madigan because, I'm a hardcore Republican, I can't stand Trump. Okay, now who am I? but here's the thing. The governor, what I didn't hear from the governor yesterday was a sense of urgency. And I don't know if he feels beaten down by this whole process. He obviously has a sense of timing on it that we don't have. But I think what the people of the state of Illinois need to hear is for the governor to be more pissed off than he sounds.
I'm not sure personality-wise if he's the guy that gets super angry that way, but I think that he is sticking to his guns, and it's a daily battle. And I think, and I've said all along, I think he's correct that we cannot do things the way we have in the last 15 years. We need some reforms. And I give him credit for sticking to his guns. That's what he was elected to do. But
if he gives up on all of this, like, for instance, if he just said, what Andre was talking about, people are expecting him to give in. Mm-hmm. If he were to give in on all of this, he might as well resign. He might as well resign that day, because that means nothing changes.
Yep. No, and we're going to have an election here in 2 years, and each of the candidates that the Democrats have put up have to go down and get permission to run from Mike Madigan. So if you like the way the state's running, then don't get behind what the governor's trying to do. You don't have to agree with him on everything, but there are certain things we know we can get done that'll make a difference, and that's what he's trying to do.
I need to hear him angrier. Yeah. So I need some anger.
Yeah.
It can't just be me. Back on the Steve Cochran Show with my friend Pat Brady. All right, I mentioned the elephant in the room with Chuck Todd earlier this morning. Enough with the coincidences and enough with the, none of this is true because we say it isn't true. There's clearly a Russian connection to Donald Trump. It could go back as far as 1979, and it's clearly not nothing. Where do you see this going from here?
I don't know, because these investigations, and that's the risk to his presidency, is you never know where they end up. Remember, Whitewater with Bill Clinton started out as a bad land deal and ended up getting impeached for having sex with an intern. I mean,
right.
So you never know where these things go, but every day more evidence seems to leak out about that there is some kind of connection. And to me, the fact that another country, particularly bad people like Putin, are trying to influence our elections, that's is about as serious offense as I've ever seen.
The fact that Russia meddled in our election should be enough for both parties to be standing on the Capitol steps as they did after 9/11 and singing together. But yet we continue to fight with each other. Why isn't this the number one story every single day?
It should be. And I think that the real leaders, I think more so in the Senate, like Senator McCain and Lindsey Graham and some Democrats, too, have even said that should be the focus and it should be nonpartisan. But the House mess with what Chairman Nunes did in the Intel Committee. It's just sucking all the oxygen out of the room. It should be.
Yeah,
I agree.
And the ranking member, Schiff, I think has handled this extremely well and has been extremely upstanding about it. But the House side of this is going to blow up and go away. It'll be on the Senate side. So the Senate will produce a product, hopefully in relatively short order. But without the House Intel Committee's work on this, what happens then?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what the Senate comes up with, and we'll see what the Justice Department does, and let's see what – there's a lot of options here. And I'm not trying to not answer, but we just don't know. You go where the facts take you in an investigation, and we don't know what the facts are yet. I just don't like the way this process has been so badly mismanaged in the House. The trip over to the White House by the chair of the Intel Committee was just that's enough. Credibility investigation is gone, and maybe you guys, like you and Chuck were talking about, maybe did want to blow it up.
Well, and here's the thing. I've been to the White House. You've been to the White House. You don't get to go to the White House, but you know, unless you hop over the fence and get roughed up by Secret Service without somebody letting you in. And that will be a matter of public record, and that will come out. So why does Sean Spicer and the rest of the Trump team stand around and act like we don't know? Of course you know.
Well, because the boss tells them. And I think you've said it before. Those press conferences aren't it's an audience of one. Yeah. For Sean Spicer. He's just got to keep the commander in chief happy. And that role has been so diminished, which used to be so important, by the way, I think he's handled it. But it's taken on such a huge significance because it's aired daily. And I don't ever remember that happening in an administration where the daily press briefing is live.
Andrea.
Oh, God. How much time do we have? First of all, I wanted to ask about Ivanka because I know we asked Chuck Todd of that as well. It doesn't bother me that Ivanka's kind of his right-hand woman. I think that Republicans would be a little bit more upset because they are Democrats. But I just want to know why there's not more outrage on both sides, specifically the Republican Party. Where's the outrage with this Russian meddling in the investigation? I mean, you think this would be – I know there's investigations going on, but I just was expecting a little bit more outrage, Pat.
Well, it's hyper-partisan, and we've talked about this for a year or two now. The legislative districts are gerrymandered, so it doesn't help you to be moderate. And like Chuck talked about blowing up the Senate with the – if they do the filibuster nuclear option, yeah. It's just so hyper-partisan because of the way the districts are drawn. It doesn't help you politically to reach across the aisle. So that's the world we live in now, and I'd like to see more of it too. But I got to say, the one thing I was the happiest about that I saw Senator McCain step up and do the other day is he did call that Kim Jong-un, the North Korean brutal dictator, a fat crazy kid. So that
that worked out well. Crazy little fat kid running North Korea.
Everyone's on that page.
There still are some. But I think there's still some humor.
If anyone can calm Donald Trump, and I use that word very loosely, I think it is Ivanka Trump. I do.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of influence she has on him, but I don't care if he's entitled to have a trusted team of advisors on him. And I hope he has some Democrats around him because he, like Steve always says, you represent everybody.
Right.
And Hillary Clinton basically moved into the West Wing. So I don't care.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah.
Dean Richards live at Channel 9. How are you, buddy?
Good morning.
Happy Thursday.
I'm well. Thank you. Happy Thursday. Happy 2 days before April Fool's Day.
How's your sump pump?
Thanks for asking. A lot of people don't care. Good action on it.
Get a lot of good action on your sump pump?
I am.
Yeah, good for you.
How's yours?
Bob. My sump pump, I got a sump pump and a backup. I got the whole PermaSeal system.
Me too. The same from PermaSeal.
Right. So I got the regular, I got the backup, and then I have a dwarf that lives down there and just make sure that nothing goes wrong.
Oh, that's nice. I have one in every room.
Dwarfs?
No, sump pump and a backup in every room. They really only recommended that I do it in the basement, but I thought, why not in the upstairs bedroom?
It's a good call. You never know how high the water's going to get.
Yeah.
By the way, for people that want to write the complaining texts or emails, I mean mythical dwarves, like cartoon dwarves.
Like trolls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although there's a very active troll defamation group here in Chicago that probably is offended now.
Oh, sure. The anti-troll defamation group. Yeah, I'm familiar with their work.
The ATL.
All right, so here's what's in the news. You got your Bob Dylan, you got your Jackson mom, you got your John Legend, you got your flip-flop reality show, and an amazing story about the Oscars. Let's do this one before traffic. This really is amazing to me. You're going to look at me and you're going to tell me that the accountants didn't get fired?
Well, I love this, and this gives a lot of hope to those of us who are constantly making mistakes at work. That apparently you can make one of the greatest errors of all time and still survive it and not get fired. They've been reviewing this whole Oscar debacle in which they got the accountants got the wrong envelope into the hands of the presenters, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
Right. And by the way, we still haven't seen Faye Dunaway.
No, she's crawled off stage.
She's
on
gone.
All fours, and we haven't seen her ever since.
She's gone. She's with Putin.
You know, the accounting firm made that mistake, and you know, there was you know, what's going to happen to them as a result of this? They've been reviewing the whole thing, and the conclusion by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences is that they should be retained. They will remain as the accounting firm for the Academy Awards. Now they've been doing it for like 83 years. They did fess up. They did admit that the problem was theirs. They made a mistake. And the accounting firm and the Academy have reviewed procedures to make sure that it doesn't happen again. Apparently, everything is just fine now.
Look, I believe in the power of forgiveness, but this is one of the meanest towns in the world. In Hollywood, you can get fired for looking at somebody the wrong way. And they're keeping this accounting firm? Not buying it. Are they the accountants for the Motion Picture Association of America? Because they must have some embezzling information as accountants or something.
I cannot corroborate any such litigious.
I think Dean's official opinion as America's critic is there's something dirty going on here.
I believe that I have no opinion until I've investigated this further.
All right, so let me just say on behalf
of you.
Much
as I love you, I think that you would really handle this lawsuit better than both of us.
Will you drive me to the deposition?
I'll drive you there, but I'm leaving you like a block away. I'm not even pulling up right to the courthouse.
You know what? I can't even blame you.
Yeah.
All right, so the accountants are back.
Yeah, they'll still be there again. I wonder if that Weasley guy, here's the other thing, is that weird Weasley guy who said, is it okay if I take selfies with the stars backstage?
Can I take some pictures?
They told him no, and he went ahead and did it anyway, and that's he got distracted is what it looks like to most people. Backstage, and that's how the wrong envelope got into the correct hands. Whether or not that guy's going to be part of this whole thing is another ball of wax.
Ball of wax, by the way, was Best Picture, and it never got its due.
Right.
Okay, Bob Dylan, flip-flop, the Jacksons and John Legend, among the things still to be covered. Here's Mary.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
Hey, Dean, guess what? I have show business news.
No kidding.
John DeCosta and I are going to be doing stand-up comedy at the Metropolis Theater in Arlington Heights on April 8th, and there's only a handful of tickets left, and you can get them.
How would I do that?
Well, let's give away a pair. You want to go for free? Well, I'm crazy like that. 312-981-7200. Take the name. We'll put them on the will call list for that show.
That's very generous. Very, very generous. But I prefer paying money when I go to see.
Well, then you should go to metropolisarts.com.
Metropolisarts.com.
Right.
When did you say that was? April 8th?
April 8th.
That's a Saturday.
Steve Cochran.
Saturday.
7:30 showtime.
Okay. All right.
It's a good theater. Nice people.
That's a lovely theater, a lovely area, great restaurant area. That's the perfect night. You're looking for a nice night out. You have a nice dinner. Come and see the show.
You know what most critics say about me? They go, he's a hoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people have said hoot. You've used other words.
Hoot in a handbasket, I think, was the first quote that I ever gave about you.
Yes, you called me. You said me and my kind are a basket of hoots. But that was during the campaign. All right, now here's three stories that didn't make your list, but I just want to run them by you really quick. Lady Gaga's on the cover of Arthritis magazine talking about her hip pain. I don't know why that just entertains me, and I hope her hip doesn't hurt much because I like Lady Gaga.
I'm sure it does hurt very much. If you've seen her in concert, you know that she puts you know, everything into her shows, and
yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me, even at her relatively young age, that you know, she might be you know, suffering some effects of that, given you know, she's pretty nonstop during the shows. I mean, that's basically what happened to Prince,
yep,
with his
exactly right.
Stage theatrics developed. I don't know if it was arthritis, but developed early orthopedic pain for which he was treated with painkillers that may have led to
an opioid addiction
to his death. But I hope that is not the case. She just celebrated a birthday in Venice, Italy, and
me too.
She was there with Elton John was there.
Yep, I was there.
Who else did I read? There was a,
me.
Like this whole big group, and also it says here a well-known Chicago comedian.
There you go. I could just, you know, if her hip hurts, just sit at the piano and sing Million Reasons. Oh, I could just see her do that for the rest of her career. Yep.
She was doing Bikram to help her hips heal when she had that surgery for her hips right here in Chicago at River North. Bikram.
Is that the hot
yoga?
Yep.
She was dating Taylor Dane?
Yeah, no, Taylor Kenny. Taylor, it was before they
Taylor
were engaged.
Swift.
Yeah.
She was dating
I read in Snead this morning that she was seen with him again at a restaurant.
Well, that's because Snead just noticed. It was actually a year and a half ago.
Like yesterday. Kenny.
Fast and Furious. Why do Vin Diesel and The Rock hate each other?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's true.
I hadn't heard that.
They hate each other. And we like The Rock, don't we?
We like Vin Diesel also.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Okay. Is Vin Diesel his real name? Like, are his parents Bob and Connie Diesel? No? Not so much?
I'd have to look that up.
And the original Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince
of
Bel-Air.
She's upset.
Is a loon. And she called Alfonso Ribeiro a media hoe for social media postings of their reunion picture. Was she not in the picture?
Did she say H-O-E?
Yep, H-O-E.
Oh,
yep.
Well, that's
obviously not your first day.
No, they had like a little reunion. There was a charity event, and apparently most of the cast of the original cast from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was part of this picture. The picture went all over the world. It was on Alfonso's Instagram page, and they were listing it, saying glad to see that everybody could be here except James Avery, the guy who played Uncle Phil, because he passed away a few years ago. They did not list her because she is apparently not very well liked.
Nothing but trouble.
As part of the whole cast.
And I like Alfonso, but man, is he a lot of work.
Her parents' names are Jim and Marianne Diesel, as it turns out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, I asked Sandberg to sit in with us for the flip-flop story. So flip-flop is coming back, huh?
Well, they're trying to negotiate this now. You know the couple, what's their names?
Tark and Christina. Yeah, Tark and Christina El Moussa, and they just got a dog, Cashy.
Yeah, and they just went through a pretty ugly divorce. There's no love lost between them. And by all accounts, they can't even stand being in the same room together.
Should be a great show.
But they decided, so everybody thought that there's the seventh season of Flip or Flop would be the final one. They went to the network, HGTV, and said, we want to do another season of it. So they're trying to negotiate for an eighth season now. The network hasn't said anything about it. They were going to do, you know, like a spinoff of the whole deal.
Can't you do a look-alike thing, or maybe she just does the show? Sandberg, who's better on the show, the girl or the guy?
Well, it depends what you're looking for. But I want to dispute Dean's report about they can't stand each other. They post pictures together still all the time on social media. Hmm. Like on March 13th, they were in Vegas doing an event, and so they were there.
Why do you know that?
Because I follow Christina El Moussa on social media, and he posts.
Right.
I will check his. I don't actually follow his posts.
Oh yeah, you've obviously got limits.
But I go check his, and he does it too, Tark. So they're trying to really put out there that they get along and that they could work together. So I'd like to see them actually keep the show and watch these divorced people try to make this work, because I come from, you know, I work in a modern family currently, and it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As
a matter of fact, your 13-year-old stepdaughter, we're going to talk to her next hour because it's her big birthday week.
Woohoo!
Is Bob Dylan finally going to get his Nobel?
Well, Bob Dylan is going to be in Stockholm this weekend.
Me too.
Got a couple of shows there this weekend. So he said, you know, while I'm in town, why don't I stop and pick up my award?
Anybody know where my Nobel is?
I'm going to stop. Hey, turns out I'm in town. Maybe I can stop and get my award. So he is going to stop by the office of the Nobel Prize. In order to get, it's a $900,000 cash prize that goes along with this. And in order to get...
Somebody give my check, couldn't you?
The rule is that you have to give a lecture, you know, to share your knowledge. You got Nobel Prize.
How tedious would that be?
For literature.
Holy mackerel.
But here are the terms of his showing up for this, that he'll show up, accept the award. No one's allowed to be there. It's got to be a private meeting with the Nobel people. Mm. And the lecture that you're required to give, he will do on tape. He will not do it live. If he fails to meet that requirement, then he forfeits the $900,000.
I would think Bob. I'm not being flip or flop about this. I think Bob Dylan could use the $900,000.
I do. Who doesn't want $900,000?
Yeah. I agree.
I don't need the money. I'm Bob Dylan.
And finally, what did John Legend do?
John Legend was at a the Union Station of London, the biggest train station in metropolitan London. He's walking through the station. There's a piano that just happens to be sitting there, and he sits down and does a little mini concert.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
For the people who are walking by in the concert.
Now, that's pretty cool.
He does have a new album that's coming out that just happens to be promoting this event at the same time. I don't want to be cynical, but he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to sit down for three song set. I'm going to guess is like 20 minutes.
Yeah, and it's just crazy that the piano just happened to be there.
Just happened to be there. Perfectly tuned piano in the middle of a public train station. He sits down, does three of his songs, including one of the new songs from his new album. And
the video's gone viral, which, again, it's nothing but a coincidence.
This whole viral thing is starting to catch on. I don't know if you've noticed that, but this whole internet thing, I think maybe the future.
Yeah, the internet's definitely going to stick around. That's why we get you off that 2.8 modem. By the way, I will be at Union Station later today ripping Trump until security asked me to leave. That's how I entertain.
I'm going to be not too near Steve because I don't want to get in the way of people leaving money for him while he's doing his thing.
Yeah.
But just a little further down the way, I do my Night with Bob Dylan routine.
Oh, fantastic.
That I'm promoting. So as you get off the train, if you happen to see me, hey, welcome to downtown Chicago.
Has anybody seen my $900,000?
Hey, Union Station. You want a hot dog? Go that way.
I'd like to hear Bob Dylan talking to Bears coach John Fox. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow, and you'll run down some movies for us.
I can hardly wait.
I wish that were true. Big stories next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Almost 8:45 now. The Steve Cochran Show continues. 9:40, Brian Campbell from the Chicago Blackhawks, who spanked the Pittsburgh Penguins real good last night. And I get tired of hearing about Sid the Kid's the best player in hockey. Really? Really? I've had just about enough of that. House Republican Leader Jim Durkin's on the phone. I'm a fan of Jim and his work, and welcome him back to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, Steve. I'm in Springfield. It's rainy. There's thunder. There's lightning. And there's a black cloud over Springfield today.
How's that different than any other day?
No, it isn't. Not at all. That's the way it's been for the last many months.
All right. When you're elected and you get there for the first time, I'm sure you're not wandering around thinking, boy, the budget, that's going to be a big problem. Because though there's always a discussion about the budget is like going to work and turning the lights on. It should be one of the fundamental tasks you have in not stopping the government the way this has.
It shouldn't be political. It shouldn't be partisan. It is about funding state government, letting it operate, doing the job for the people. It's a given for most people who walk into this job. They don't think there's ever going to be a problem with the state passing a budget, one that's balanced, is a bit of a challenge down here. But you're absolutely correct, Steve.
The Senate Republican leader, Christine Redonio, seemed to be making some headway with Mr. Cullerton. And I don't know what the update on that is. Where is that story?
They're still working on trying to craft a deal, calling it the grand bargain. They can call it whatever they want. But the fact is, I encourage them to keep working. They have a good relationship. And I want them to get the best deal put on paper so they can move it over to the House, where I believe it will have great momentum. And if they can pass something out of the Senate, I think the House is going to have to take something up. This has gone on too long. 2 years.
Yeah, it's an embarrassment. It's an absolute embarrassment.
Absolutely. Yeah,
the House Democrats, and by the way, I refuse to be such a generalization engine here that I'm going to throw all of the Democrats in, But if you follow Mike Madigan and you refuse to pave your own way and you refuse to stand out and say this is an outrage and you're a Democrat, well, you're just as bad and just as culpable and just as guilty as he is. So explain to folks why the holdup is on his end.
Well, it has nothing to do with, you know, the maybe disagreement about policy. This is about the governor's reelection in 2018. I'm getting to the point where I believe that the holdup of the budget and every other major good policy initiative, whether it's to sell the Thompson Center or to put managed lanes on I-55, are about discrediting the governor and ensuring that he will walk into the election in 2018 with no major initiative and without a budget. It's about the politics, about defeating Governor Rauner. That's what it's come to.
And what you and I both know is there were millions of people that voted for Governor Rauner. There were thousands of people that voted for Mike Madigan. Yet Mike Madigan continues to wield power over the governor and over your state. And even though you don't feel like it, maybe it's come to your door yet, I promise you the $10 to $15 million we throw into the street every day that we'll never get back because that's how bad our debt situation is. That's just the money we piss away every day. That's on Mike Madigan's head. And he doesn't have an office phone. You can't get a hold of him. He's certainly not talking to me. He's not talking to anybody. How is this okay?
It isn't. It isn't okay. And I'm glad Governor Rauner went back on television a couple of days ago running commercials about the problems in Springfield because there's going to have to be a pitchfork solution by the public to get the House Democrats to the table to work this thing out. Steve, I have said not only for the last 4 months but the last 2 years that I'm willing to negotiate with the House Democrats
sure.
on every issue. But they won't even come to the table. It's just very frustrating. The fact is, that's what we're supposed to do. That we were sent down here to figure things out, get things done, and, you know, compromise, like, you know, as adults. And we're just not getting there. It's terribly frustrating.
I mentioned to the governor yesterday, when you want to get a hold of Mike Madigan, how difficult is it? And he said, very. And it reminded me of when Pat Quinn told me back in the day that he hadn't spoken to Rod Blagojevich in nearly a year because he was impossible to get a hold of. For someone to be in Mike Madigan's position, that he's very, very carefully crafted and built through the years, and to not be accountable to anybody is the number one reason we continue to be one of the top states in the country to lose population. It's the number one reason businesses don't want to be here anymore, and it creates problems for everything. And if you want to wait till your schools fail and you want to wait till you know, your side finally gets a point to blame Rauner or blame whoever you want to blame, I would just say, listen, stop today for a second. Go to fixillinois.com, see the 4 points the governor's touting, and tell me how they're unreasonable, because they're not.
No, they're not. They're not unreasonable at all. And, you know, the way I look at it, no matter who's serving as governor, when a governor fails, the state fails. And right now, it's not that the governor's not trying. He's doing everything he can to put this state back on track with our pension systems, our deficits. I mean, he's trying to eliminate those. You know, we got to make some tough decisions, but good God, let's get it done. I mean, you're right, Steve. We're losing population. We're losing businesses. You know, there's going to be a day of reckoning, which is going to be coming up very soon. But the fact is, we have to make some tough decisions right now, because waiting for the election to occur in a year and a half is beyond irresponsible.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
We had two Senate Democrat leaders earlier in the week said, we don't anticipate taking up the budget until 2019.
Just
which I can't believe that they publicly said that. But
yeah,
I guess the issue
thrown
is
out
they
today.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I don't know if they've thrown in the towel or they're just going to say, look, we're just not going to give this governor anything, which to me is terribly sad. It's irresponsible, and it defies the oath of office we all took in January.
The governor has to be the governor for the entire state. That's Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. Mike Madigan, his position as Speaker, is allegedly supposed to have similar considerations. I think we know where that falls. As always, Mr. Speaker, you're welcome here if you ever have the courage to show up and defend yourself. In the meantime, what's next for you, and what's the next move, and do you see any light at the end of the tunnel?
You know, all we can do is that we're going to have to make our statements to the floor. We make it public about what needs to be done. Again, I will just call out and tell the speaker that I'm willing to negotiate. He runs the chamber. He has the votes. But the fact is, if you want to solve this budget crisis, and if you are willing to fix our pensions, reduce our debt, bring jobs back to Illinois, I'm here. I'm willing to work with you.
How do people stay in touch with you?
Just call my office in Burridge.
Oh, you have a phone in your office. How crazy is that?
I do, and I pick it up, sir.
That's nuts. House Republican Leader Jim Durkin, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Steve. Take care.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, we make a big deal about birthdays around here. We're going to have Mary Vandeveld make one of her famous cakes, but we figured it'd be just covered in flu. Yeah. How are you feeling, by the way?
Oh, not too bad. Kind of weak, but I'm here. I'm good.
24-hour flu. What is that about? Nobody has the flu for 24 hours. It's usually 3 or 4 days.
I do. I zinc up and I get rid of it. I sweat it out. I try to sweat it out. Yeah. It's the way to do it.
Well, congratulations. Sandberg's here, producer and whip carrier for the program. And Sandberg, there's a birthday in your family, and I insisted we make a big deal about it. Who is it?
My stepdaughter, Catherine Mary Boyle.
Boy, it'd be great if we could get her on the phone.
Well, I think we might have her, Steve.
What? What? Kat, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much. So
today the day?
Yes.
Holy mackerel. 13, man.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Kat.
That's a big year.
Are we going to sing or something? 13.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
Dave,
Go ahead, do you remember
when you became a teenager?
I do, as a matter of fact.
What was the first awful thing you did?
He's still waiting, probably.
I never really did anything awful. Steve, you know that.
How come Catherine? She's so beautiful. When I was 13, man, I was going through those gawky, awkward.
She doesn't have There's no awkward stage with Catherine. No.
What the heck?
It's just smooth.
Yeah.
All right, Sandberg, take this over.
So Catherine, you know, she just turned 13, and people that I know, like her aunts, Amy and Angie, they were saying they can't believe that Catherine's 13 because they feel so old because they were there when she was born. And while I recognize that 13 is old, I wasn't there when Catherine was born. So I met her when she was 9 and a half on September 1st, 2013.
Oh, so you got nothing but the good stuff.
I know. I got, when she was so cute and so sweet. And the first day I met her, I got in the car and we were going to go swimming at East Bank. And her dad said, you know, this is Mary. And she and Patrick in the back seat, and Patrick said, hey. And Catherine said, hi. And then she said, my middle name is Mary. And it was so sweet.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice.
And she has, like, these cute, like, sparkly, smiley eyes, and she's, like, the kindest, sweetest person.
Well, that's very nice. How about that's awfully nice to hear, isn't it, Catherine?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think, you know, some people are better kids, some people are better adults. I feel like at 9 and a half, Catherine was like already a 13-year-old. Like 13 is her age. Like she's a perfect teenager. She already was, you know, 3 and a half years ago. So,
but Catherine, you know what that means? Here's what that means. That means you could be a really bad adult. There's a lot of pressure here. I mean, you're a great kid. Now you're going to grow up and be a bit, you got to be a good adult as well.
I think she'll be a good adult. So I'd like to say her parents did a good job raising her, but I think they just got lucky.
And there you go.
They got an angel given to them. So
That's very sweet. Now, Dave, I think what we both want to know is how many birthday parties, how many get-togethers do you get when you turn 13? I didn't have my first birthday party till I think I was 16 or 17 when my friends threw me a party. Did you have a series of parties when you were 13, Dave?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you
Sounds
did?
About right. Yeah. Oh, for me? Not for me. No, no.
Yeah. Mary Vandeveld, did you have a series of parties when you turned 13?
I can't remember. I really don't think I had birthday parties. You know, there were 7 kids in my family. My mom wasn't big with the birthdays. We just didn't do them. I mean, I think I might have had a kid sleep over once in a while.
Right, right. But
that was it. Yeah.
All right, Catherine, tell me what's happened just this week. Now, if I have this right, you guys had a family dinner like Sunday. Is that right?
We had a family dinner on Friday.
On Friday? Okay, keep going.
And then we went to Ron of Japan with some family friends on Sunday.
On Sunday? Okay, that's dinner number two.
And then we haven't really done much recently.
Wait a minute, what day was that?
Sunday.
Okay.
Well, so
Sunday. That is Thursday.
There was a drought Monday through
but
Wednesday.
The actual but... day, so what are you doing for dinner tonight?
I'm not really sure. We're in South Carolina right now, but I don't know where we're going for dinner, but I'm supposed to dress nice, so.
Oh, well, that's nice. Where are you in South Carolina?
We are in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, and how's the weather?
It's very nice.
She's there playing a little golf.
Of course, yeah.
She's on the getaway that we all wish we were on.
I'm guessing exactly. It's spring break this week? Okay, good.
Yes.
So I think she's going to have a delayed friend party because all her friends are in St. Thomas and, you know, San Diego and everywhere.
So when everybody gets back, there's going to be a continuation of the birthday that never ends.
Probably.
All right. What do you want for your birthday?
Well, I already got some of the things that I wanted.
Like?
I got brand new Converse.
Nice.
Dave probably got Converse when he was 13 because those were popular then, too, I think.
They were.
I think Kevs.
Dave just got the Jesus sandals because all the kids in the neighborhood were wearing them.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you get?
I got tickets to see Bruno Mars.
Oh,
in August?
Yeah.
I guess you're taking me to that.
I bet you Mary's going to that one.
I think, I think she is lucky enough to be taking her brother and her dad and I. And I think her dad is more excited than she is.
All right. Well, tell your dad for the encore. I'll put him on my shoulders. And what else? So there's one other thing, right?
Yes, I got a computer.
Holy mackerel.
She was so cute. So, like, some people want a computer to, I don't know, do some work or whatever. She took the computer in her bedroom and got under her covers and laid down and started watching Gilmore Girls on Netflix.
Oh, that's great.
That's fantastic.
That's what she should be doing. It.
Steve, that's what you did when you got your new computer, isn't it?
That's exactly right. That's why I got the computer.
And well, she's gotten money. Money.
Right, and that's a good thing, too. Kat, we love you on the show, obviously, and you're lucky to have Mary in your life. You know that.
I'm lucky to have her. She's,
and we love your dad. And we love your weird brother, too. So happy birthday. Here's a hug from the show, and have a great time in South Carolina, and we'll see you sometime when you get back.
And, Steve, there's a gallery on WGNRadio.com of some birthday pictures of Catherine, as well as everybody in the Boyle family was born in March. Patrick was born on March 9th. Pat was born March 14th. And then Catherine the 30th. So it's the whole birthday month gallery is up.
No kidding.
Yep.
And Pat Boyle shares his birthday with what other famous celebrity?
I don't know. Somebody that works here, I think.
Yeah, me. Yeah, me.
Steve Cochran. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Rick Dees, Adrian Zemed, Pat Boyle, and me. Oh, and Albert Einstein. All right, Kat, have a great day. Go have fun.
All right, thank you so much.
See you guys. What a nice kid. What a nice kid.
I love her.
Yeah, I can tell.
Why I love 13. I love, like, I can't wait for 15 and 16 when I can totally drop all my responsibilities and we can just be complete pals.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, have fun with
when
that.
When she brings the Hell's Angel biker home, that's going to be a lot of fun for you.
Yeah, yeah.
We got the replay here in just a second. Bloomberg did an analysis of the richest towns in America. Of the top 100, Chicago has 11. Let me give you the quick summary here. Western Springs at 99, Wilmette at 95, Lake Bluff at 86, Hawthorne Woods at 81, Oak Brook at 63. You know, it's funny. I don't think of Oak Brook as a town.
Why, you just think of a shopping mall?
Yeah, I think of Oak Brook as a mall and restaurants.
But isn't there like Oak Brook Terrace? And
yes, there's Oak Brook Terrace, which is right near where I live, actually. And so, yeah, Oak Brook is not very big as far as residential is concerned, but what it has, they're pretty nice homes.
Long Grove is next at 55, Hinsdale at 39, Inverness at 33, Lake Forest at 31. You know, isn't the traditional thought there's more money in Lake Bluff than Lake Forest?
Boy, I don't know. Isn't Lake Bluff on there?
Yeah, Lake Bluff was a little lower in the list. Glencoe at 12, and Winnetka, the richest Chicago suburb, number 10 on the top 100 with an average household income of $311,902 a year.
See, I always thought Kenilworth, which is right next to Winnetka, was the, but maybe it's not large enough because it's a fairly small town.
No, it's like three streets.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did an event in Kenilworth, like a private party. I don't know if I was valet parking cars. And I wasn't invited back, and I think here's why. As everybody gathered in the backyard in their finery, I said, boy, this home is so beautiful. Bob and Connie, whoever they were, they've done such a nice job. You know, they used to have a double wide here. I'm so happy for their success. And they were Kenilworth shocked.
That was your opening remark?
They wanted no part of me after that. Get out! Get out!
And a cane came out, and there you went.
Get out! All right, 9:26, when the Hawks win, we make a federal case out of it. Brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and all the other great things they do. Roll it!
Chicago!
The Chicago Blackhawks took only 1 point out of Florida and will now end their three-game road swing in Pittsburgh as they face the banged-up Penguins, who are missing several key players. Kane in over the Penguin line, down the left wing. Carries behind the net, behind the back pass to Panarin. He shoots, he scores! Artemi Panarin took a pass from an impossible angle from Patrick Kane. He was right in behind the Penguin net. He roofs a shot. It's 1-0 Hawks. Puck ends up in the far corner to Mark Streit. He had it chipped off his stick by Tave down along the inboard. Gunn didn't know what to do with it. And Nick Schmaltz slaps it away behind the net. Schmaltz recovered, put it in front. Panic shoots and scores! Richard Panic, standing between the circles, takes a perfect centering pass from Nick Schmaltz. And without hesitation, snaps it in behind Marc-Andre Fleury for his second goal against the Penguins this season. 2-0 Hawks. Artemi Panarin ends up with the puck and carries to center ice. Here's Panarin looping back into the Hawks zone. Outlets to Patrick Kane. Nice pass to Kruger over the Pens line. Right circle. Shoots. He scores! Marcus Kruger off of a sweet handoff from Patrick Kane. Rolled into the right circle and fired home his fourth goal of the season. It's 3-0 Hawks with 54 seconds left in period one. Schultz takes the puck away. Wheels in over the Penguin line. Down the left wing. Gave it to Hossa. Right circle. Shoots. He scores! Marian Hossa, a point a game against the Penguins in his career coming into this game, makes it 4-0 Hawks with 15 seconds left in period number one. Played by Schultz. Tanner Carroll's got a breakaway over the Penguin line. Down the side. Shoots. He scores! Tanner Carroll with a nice defensive play at the Hawk blue line. It's 5-0 Hawks. Russ down the left wing, took it to the net, lost it. Follow-up shot, turned wide by Crawford. Russ to the left circle, wedges in front, shoots and scores. Now there'll be no shutout tonight. And that's all she wrote. The Blackhawks have tied a franchise mark for road wins as they win here tonight 5-1. And the Blackhawks also hand off the 850th career win behind the bench for head coach Joel Quenneville. They finish the road trip 1-1-1.
Pretty good night, if you ask me. And they're coming home now. And soup. Brian Campbell coming up in just a few minutes. We'll do the big story first right after this on 720 WGN.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with the Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Brian Campbell joining us in just a second. Sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB does mean business. Hey, Dave, before we get to that, in hearing Steve Alexander's voice reminded me, you know what tomorrow is, right?
Yes, I do.
Orion Samuelson's, is it 82nd birthday?
I think it's 80.
It might be. Is it
83? I think it's 83.
82, yeah.
I don't want to.
Steve would know because.
Is he there? Steve?
Steve cut him open and counted his rings.
Well, you know, he's somewhere in that neighborhood.
Right. And I believe Orion said it best at his 80th birthday party. Once you hit 80, the rest don't matter. So we hope to have him on the show tomorrow. He's been battling a couple of annoying health issues. But he should be with us tomorrow because it's his birthday. So we will make an effort to get that done. Do we have Mr. Campbell standing by yet? Or are we still searching for him?
Let's see. I think we are just about to get him, maybe.
Yeah, he's probably still celebrating the big win over Pittsburgh last night.
I'm sure they had a late night getting back from Pittsburgh.
Well, it is. A lot of people don't know this. It is an international flight.
We're good to go. Brian's with us.
Joining us now is Brian Campbell from your Chicago Blackhawks. I want to thank you for the soup that you dropped off last week when I was on the mend.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad you're feeling better and back at it.
You know, I'm 50%, and that's a good number for me. Congrats on the win last night, dude. Man, you guys look great.
Yeah, you know what? We're getting our game back. I think we're kind of like, it's tough playing some of those teams we were playing at home and then on the road. And, you know, last night was a big game. We really want to ramp it up here for our next five games and play better hockey to get ready for the playoffs. So we did a lot of good things last night. We're happy about that.
Yeah, and anytime you can shove it up Sid the Crosby's pads, makes me happy. Sid the Crosby, Sid the Kid Crosby. I don't know, Soup. I mean, he's a great player, but, continuing to hear he's the best player in hockey, he's the best player in hockey. I don't know. I think Kaner's pretty good, man.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of good players in this league now, so there always has been. But, you know, yeah, he's definitely up there. I think, you can debate either way how you want to go and what you want to say and how everything goes. But, you know, I think I'm quite happy with what we have on our team, and it gives us a good shot. And obviously, he's proven himself over the years.
I don't know that I'm right about this, but I've heard that of the guys in the league that are yappers, you know, trash talkers on the ice, shooting their mouth off, that Sid the Kid's one of them. Is that true?
I don't know if I want to go there, Steve. I don't think he doesn't trash talk, but I'm sure he takes, you know, you got to think about it. You know, the superstar players like Kaner and him, and, you know, there's guys hounding them. Everybody wants a piece of them all night. They're trying to get in their face. They're trying to get them off their game. And so, you know, I'm sure it's not easy for Kaner. It's not easy for Johnny, for Crosby. So, you know, it's a little different that way, but, you know, it's, I'm sure, you know, he hands out his fair share of slashes and everything else, just like the guys that do it to him as well.
But you're a great player, and you don't have to play that way. That's all I'm saying, dude. That's all I'm saying. I'm not a Sid fan. I love the fact that you guys just took it to him last night and finished it off with a 5-1 win. Dave?
Brian, you play 82 regular season games, and you've got the playoffs right around the corner. I know that it's one of 82, but some games feel different. They feel like going into them that it means more, and they feel like afterwards they mean more. Was this one of those games? Did this feel like just more than one of 82 games?
Yeah, you know, I think as I was saying before, you look at what we did last week at home. We played Dallas. We played – I'm trying to think of the other teams we played, but they weren't really like – they weren't intense matchups because Dallas is out of the playoffs and the other team that we played, Vancouver, was out of the playoffs. So we played one period and we ended up coming away with points. Well, last night, if we play one period, we're not coming away with points. So, you know, it's trying to see where we match up against the great teams, and Pittsburgh's one of the great teams. So it's definitely different. Tomorrow night's game against Columbus is going to be different. It's going to be, you know, they're battling for playoff placement, and so are we in Boston, the Sunday game. So I think it's a good test for us the next couple of games, and obviously in Pittsburgh to get our game where it needs to be come playoff time.
How much are you paying attention to the teams behind you, and particularly the way the wild card standings look? Because the way things stand now, you would play the second wild card team, which could be St. Louis, the way it is now.
Yeah, you know, it looks like we're going to play St. Louis, Nashville, or Calgary. Mm-hmm. So we all pay attention to it. I don't think I pay attention to it as much as if I was like, we're dogging, trying to get in the playoffs, and and you're seeing who, which teams play which teams and all that. So I definitely, we all still look at it and know what's going on, but not as intensely as if you're trying to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, actually in Calgary, St. Louis has moved into third. As they won last night, they've been hot. So right now it's Calgary and Nashville holding the wild card spot. So, yeah, a lot can change the last few games.
Brian Campbell's with us. It's the MB Financial Bank Breakfast with the Blackhawk. What are you going to say, Sue?
No, I was just saying, yeah, it can change, and it's who these teams are playing. I know St. Louis and Nashville play each other coming up in a head-to-head, so you know, that's going to be a big game to see, kind of for us to watch and see what happens with that.
So do you see the great goals? Because last night, Kaner and your boy Panarin, and I think it was the first goal of the game, had a goal that was just ridiculous. Dave, what was it? What did the kids say?
As sick.
It was sick, Soup. It was sick. And Kaner's behind the net, does a little bit of drop pass without looking, and Panarin is basically behind the net and just reaches around with his stick and stuffs it home. Did you see the goal?
Oh, yeah, I was at the game, Steve.
Nicely done.
Did you see the replay where you could actually get a look at it?
I saw it after the game a little bit more. And, yeah, I was like, I honestly did not know that the bread man was that far behind the net or behind right. The goal line when he kind of put it in. So, yeah, it was pretty to watch. You know, I think obviously – you know, Kaner made a great play. I think he's just hoping that – well, he knows that there's guys there. He's just hoping that it's on the tape, and it worked out for the Red Man to get it. But, yes, I was at the game last night.
Do you go to all the games, Brian?
I try to. You know, sometimes you got other obligations, but I try
to. How many games have you been at that you weren't actually there?
There's a couple I've been at and I wasn't there. Yes, that is true.
Speaking of tape, Ken Gabry, G-A-B-R-Y, of Orland Park has your question for Brian Campbell today. What influences a player to use white or black tape on their stick? I've heard different reasons. White makes it easier for teammates to see the puck when passing. Black makes it harder for the goalie to see the puck when shooting. Is it a personal preference? What's the rule there?
I think it's personal preference, kind of what I grew up on, and I always use black tape on my sticks. Some guys, you know, they say use white, and I don't think if you ask the goaltender, it really matters to them what happens. Some guys, you know, put white with they use like a puck to make black streak marks on their tape, so maybe that kind of gives a white black contrast. You know what? There's been great players and great goal scorers that have used white, and there's been great guys that have used black. So I think it's personal preference more than anything.
Before we let you go, you know, with Columbus coming in and having this unbelievable year, and Dave said it well earlier when he said this used to be an automatic W, and now they're tied with you guys in points overall for the league and one of the best teams in the league. And Brandon Saad played here before you came back and was a favorite and a terrific guy. He's got 50 points, and he's just one of the guys on that team. They kind of snuck by me, man. That resurgence of that team is pretty impressive. Who else are you going to be watching tomorrow night to make sure that you keep them in check?
Yeah, you know, I think they surprised a lot of us. But the thing with them is they have a lot of balance on all their lines. So, you know, I know Atkinson, there's a Wenberg's a pretty good player. Like they have a lot of like guys that can score goals. So I don't think it's like, they're not going to have like, well, Atkinson's up there in the league leaders in scoring, but you know, they just have a lot of depth and they keep rolling their lines. I think that's why they're having success that way, is they get scoring from all their lines. So there's a lot of guys that are doing well on that hockey club.
Any news on more of the, Red Man series, what is it? Soup and Salad? What the hell is the thing called? I've forgotten already.
Really?
Steve, soup and a sandwich.
You know, I'm still on meds. Soup and a sandwich. Is there going to be any more soup and a sandwich or not during the playoffs?
Not during the playoffs. No, I don't know what this might have to wait till next year. So I know that's disappointing, but yeah, we won't be doing definitely not during the playoffs. It's more of a focus thing. So worrying about hockey and hockey only.
All right, buddy. Always good talking to you. Glad you made the game last night.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. we'll talk next week.
Good burn. That's Brian Campbell, and we'll take a break. Come back. Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN. And thank you, MB Financial Bank. 9:54, Bill and Wendy are here. Now, it's a little before the show, but we didn't have time to talk about this yesterday. Has there been any fallout, Bill, from taping my giant head on the Ulta model's face from what would have been Tuesday's program?
Actually, there has been, Steve, is the disappointment of Chicagoans and vacationers who are walking down Michigan Avenue wanting to see your face there on the Ulta sign. And instead, it's just a beautiful model, and they're very disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, you can get beautiful models. They're a dime a dozen.
Dime a dozen.
You get my face on a beautiful model's head. Now you're talking.
Right. Right. That's so true. Yeah. And I've done a lot of the news shows. I was telling Wendy I was on Rachel Maddow the other night, and I was on Anderson Cooper last night. And, you know, it's mixed. I'll be honest with you. The nation's divided.
Yeah, you look like Fabio.
Yeah.
I know.
Fabulous. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, can I ask what happened to my head? Do we know where my head is?
Your real head or the fake cardboard head?
Well, my real head is always up for grabs, but the cardboard head that you taped on the model's face. Do we know where that head
and
is?
And it's not a fake cardboard. It's a real
it's
cardboard.
Real cardboard.
Head.
It's real.
A real cardboard head. Oh, right.
It's here.
It's been returned.
Yeah, it's in perfect condition.
Yeah, that was a special gift from the Northwestern University Athletic Department.
Yeah.
Are you going to put it on the ceiling of your bedroom?
I have the mirror so I can watch myself age.
I love the headband.
Here it is. Here comes the head.
Here comes the head.
Here's my thought, Bill, and I don't know if you want to do this.
God, that thing cracks me up. I'm sorry.
It's perfectly round, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, Bill, it's an opportunity for you to go around town wherever there are models and place my face on the models' heads.
I wouldn't.
Buses that go by.
I would have no bad reaction to that at all. I want to do that.
Actually, yesterday we were talking about your upcoming colonoscopy, and he was going to use that as a curtain.
Would you be comfortable with that, Steve? That's what I want to focus on during my colonoscopy.
Which way are the eyes going to be pointed?
You know, I got to tell you something. When you come out of the twilight, if my head's staring at you, you're going to think things went a lot worse than you thought they did. I don't know what they found, but Steve's here in a headband.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for whatever that was. And we got one more break. We'll come back, and you guys are next.